Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Quantum Revenue Expansion, where we talk about turning your annual income into your monthly income. I'm your host, Ursula Minchus. Super excited, because we've been talking a lot about AI, and we're talking about AI again today with Hunter Jensen, specifically talking about scaling with AI, how business leaders can leverage artificial intelligence for growth, which is what we all want. Although some of us are running scared. I can't even tell you how many conversations. We're going to talk about that. All right. So before we dive in, Hunter, I just want to say welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Ursula.
Yeah, I'm excited to pick your brain today. I'm sure you love it when people say that, but that's what we're going to do. We want to learn more about what's going on in your AI world. And for our listeners, let me tell you a little bit about Hunter, why I'm excited he's here. He is the founder and CEO of Barefoot Solutions, a leading digital technology firm specializing in AI, data science, and application development. With over 20 years of experience, he's worked with renowned brands such as Microsoft, Salesforce, and Samsung to deliver ROI-driven software solutions. Hunter's experience lies in simplifying complex digital strategies and empowering CEOs with actionable insights into AI and machine learning. First, I want to just tell you, I'm in love with AI. And I would say 6 months ago, that was not a thing at all. Now, like, we're using it for everything. And we built our first AI agent. Like, I'm obsessed with custom GPTs, but we finally built our first agent. Not perfectly. There were some glitches in the system that we really laughed hard about. Some things we had to learn. But we are embracing it. We are running with it. Mostly for us, in my space, we're mostly using ChatGPT. I know there's a million other things. And my husband's in data security infrastructure, and he tells me about all these other things. And that's not where we are. We're finding tools that work for us, you know, in the business realm. So let's just jump in. Like, I want to hear a little bit about your backstory first, though, Hunter, if we may. Just like, how did you get into this field, and why are you excited about AI right now?
So I started off in college at the University of Virginia. I taught myself web development because they weren't teaching it yet in the computer science department. And I was picking up jobs on Craigslist, writing PHP code so I could pay my tuition.
Nice.
I graduated and moved to California, moved to San Diego, and kind of just extended my freelancing into full time. And I did that for a few years. It was a lot of fun. I was making decent money, making my own hours. But then I had kind of a realization, which was you can only make so much money when you're billing your own time, right?
Yes.
And that is an important realization. It took me a while to kind of really figure it out. And that's when I got more serious about building a business. And so I started hiring people to do the jobs that I didn't like or the jobs that I wasn't particularly good at. Bootstrap the whole thing on 0% interest credit cards with like 18 month, interest, and then moving them, you know, playing kind of credit card roulette a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we started out as a custom, you know, web development shop. We were building WordPress websites. This was like 2008 timeframe, right? And the way that we've stayed relevant through the years is staying at the cutting edge of tech. Not the bleeding edge, because at the bleeding edge, companies don't spend money unless it's like research and development. But at the cutting edge, they're ready to actually start deploying technology solutions. So while we started off in web, we had one of the first 100 or so apps in the App Store when that came online. So we bet big on mobile very, very early, and that paid off. Then we got into kind of the Internet of Things and medical device apps pretty early on. Then we moved into blockchain and crypto when that was hot, and that was a lot of fun and kind of weird. And then we got into machine learning. So we've been in the like AI space for 8-9 years. I mean, machine learning's been around a really long time, but we have ChatGPT to thank for kind of opening the eyes of the world to what I kind of already knew this tech was capable of.
Yeah.
And so it went from, you know, November 2022 prior to that, which was when ChatGPT launched. It was an uphill slog trying to convince business owners and C-levels that like this tech was super powerful because it just kind of looked like magic. And now everybody's using it and everybody's trying to figure out how they can deploy it for their daily work and at their business, kind of across their entire business as well.
Yeah. Yeah. ChatGPT did what Zoom did, right? Taught everybody how to use, you know, something that my husband being one of them, people in the tech world were like, you're excited about that? Yeah, we are now, right? Because it's not our wheelhouse. It's not natural thinking for most of us, right? That's not how our brain works. So yes, so grateful to ChatGPT for bringing us all into this current time. And it's interesting you call it machine learning. So just tell us a little bit about that versus artificial intelligence. Like, I want to be with the cool kids who, you know, you guys have been doing this for a while. So talk about machine learning. What does that mean to you?
So I don't even really like the term artificial intelligence. I'm kind of forced to use it because that's what everybody's talking about. And
tell us more. Yeah,
I understand. But like, think of artificial intelligence as just like a really broad category that has a bunch of different types of AI underneath of it. Now, one of the original AI techniques is something called machine learning, which is where we have these pretty advanced algorithms and you feed in a ton of data and train a model to understand and then eventually be able to predict, such that you could then feed in incomplete data and it could try to predict the rest of it, right? That at its very core, that's how machine learning works. And if you've ever heard of neural networks or deep learning, this is all machine learning and it's all just math and compute to make predictions. It's all about predictions. Now, machine learning is how large language models are trained. It's the same technique, right? And so, you know, large language models are actually language prediction engines. They are trying to predict the next word that we want to hear or we want to read. And it does that by training on basically the entire internet. And right. Then when given a prompt, it tries to predict what the best answer would be based on all of its training and now some of its tools and agentic stuff. So that's machine learning. You know, another category that, which is what everyone's talking about right now, is generative AI. So large language models like ChatGPT are generative. Diffusion models like DALL-E and Midjourney and those folks that create images, those are also considered generative AI. The underlying math is different. Diffusion models versus, you know, GPTs, which is generative pre-trained models, but they're all considered generative AI. That's where all the kind of excitement is right now.
Because it's like magic, right? Mm-hmm. It feels like magic for a lot of us. So business owners listen to Quantum Revenue Expansion. They're listening right now. I've had some conversations with some of them who are super annoyed. I would even say angry about the whole AI movement in the sense of like, you know, it's creepy or it's going to take over or it's going to do this or it's going to do that. And I'm not in that camp, but I also understand, you know, people's fears, but it's like preventing adoption of a lot of things. I just had a conversation yesterday with someone about the same thing. How can business owners lean into it a little bit more and actually get ROI from AI versus just kind of get pulled into the hype and have conversations with ChatGPT all day long, which some might be useful, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And I've been having this conversation with business owners for the last 2 years. You know, getting an ROI in AI is different than tinkering, which is right. What a lot of people are doing. Here's what I would say. 2023 and 2024 were the time for tinkering, experimentation. Oh, this is neat type stuff. If you're not spending money on AI in 2025, you're going to get smoked by your competition.
Heard that.
You have to. Like, you have to let go of the fear and lean in as hard as possible, or you're going to get wiped out. Like, I'll give you an example for myself.
Okay.
I've been in the business of selling software development hours. That's what we sell. right? Engineers writing code. All of a sudden, something that used to take 100 hours to build takes like 2 because of these generative models that are really, really good at writing code. Now, that if I was scared of that, I'd get killed. But rather, somebody has to use these tools, right? And be good at it. And so what I told my company, you know, a year and a half ago was that we're going to be the best at using the tools, at evaluating new stuff as it comes out, at stitching it all together. There's like very much kind of a last mile problem where it's like, okay, well, that's a nice block of code, but like it needs to be hosted somewhere. And where's the logo coming from? And what's the backend API look like? And how are we doing on, you know, there's like stitching that needs to happen. And so, you know, we're going to be the best at that.
Yeah.
And additionally, like, you know, we're building a product, which is something we've never really done before because, you know, the model of selling software development hours is dying this year really fast. And so we're building a product to help businesses deploy AI across their entire business.
And it's not the only thing that's dying. And I agree with you. Like I was on it's kind of like a little brain trust of AI, not as technical as you, but that even that guy was like, he's like, if 10% of the companies are left in 5 years, I'd be surprised that exist today.
Yeah.
Because they don't adapt or adopt AI. And I was like, okay, like I was already leaning in, but I'm like, I see this now. And now I ran a tech company back in the day, but I'd say I'm one of the least technical people on the planet, but you don't have to be technical to adopt, especially now, like you don't have to be technical to adopt and understand AI and how to use it, how to leverage it, how to move it, how to bring it into your business. At least that's my perception, or at least that's what I tell myself, because if I thought I had to be technical to really make this move right now, we'd be stuck. And we're helping all of our clients as well. We have, it's a coaching business. So I'm teaching clients how to use AI now. I just want to say that, Hunter, because that, if you would have told me that a year ago, I would have said that's not a thing.
Right.
And to your point, there's pieces that need to be stitched together. There's pieces like even with ChatGPT that people don't understand, and it's changing so fast, right? Like there's things for me to be teaching every single day. It's like, oh, that just changed. That just changed. Here's how you use this. Here's how you can use that in your business, right? So for us to stay ahead of it, you don't even have to be that far ahead of it. You just need to be ahead of it, right? Ahead of it and adopting it. But what are the biggest misconceptions about AI that you're seeing business owners really wrestle with?
Yeah, I would say I'm seeing one major misconception, which is what led us to build the product that we're building. There are a whole swath of companies that say, well, we can't use ChatGPT here because we deal in confidential information all day and our clients, and we need ChatGPT to know that stuff to really get value from it. So we're kind of getting left behind, right? Think lawyers and accountants, financial services, insurance, defense contracting, you know, healthcare, you name it. There's a whole group of people that are like, well, we can't use that because we can't divulge, you know, client or confidential information, right? And so that's not the case. You just need to figure out how to securely deploy it. So we had a law firm come to us and say, we want to be able to do this. We want to be able to use a large language model, but safely, privately, and securely. And so we built this product around that, where we are deploying it in on-premise, right? In the client's infrastructure, using open source large language models and RAG databases to store files and be able to query them and all the rest of it, just like you could with an OpenAI assistant or a custom GPT, but all kind of secure, right? Because right now, there are a bunch of companies that are literally said, you are not allowed to use third-party large language models. Most like local governments have that policy. Law firms have that policy. Like all sorts of companies have that because they don't know how to do it. But there is a way to do it safely and securely and dealing with their confidential information and connecting to all of their other internal systems without risking leakage of that stuff into training data.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Huge problem. So that's one of the problems you're solving right now.
That is, yes. That we're building a product for that. We've got first deployment is going to be this month. And then we've got a number of folks that are lining up. And, you know, this is my hour reaction and strategy to the disruption that AI is causing in my traditional business model, right? This is how we're pivoting, right? I mentioned we were web, then we were mobile, then we were, this is the next one. Now we're turning into a product company, a product plus service, I'll call it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great example of like how to not be left behind. Find the new problems that your clients are dealing with. The clients are still there. The problems are still there. The question is, how creative can you be? And that's a great example of like, you're solving the problem, meeting needs. You're listening to what your clients are saying.
It's in the name of my company, right? Solutions. Our mission is to use technology to solve problems. And now we've been doing that the same way for a really long time, writing custom software, but that's not necessarily the best way anymore because there's new technology. And so now it's time to adapt and adopt and push forward and really lean into all of it.
What do you say to someone a business owner who doesn't like change? Like that's a big shift you just made in your company. That's a lot. How do you do that when you're like, I don't want to change. I'm fighting AI. What would you say to them?
Go get a job. Like, I mean, honestly, you're not going to make it. If that's your attitude, your business is going to fail within the next 3 or 4 years. It just is. If you can't, this is like, you know, people are thinking of this as like, oh, well, yeah, you know, we had like, you know, web, and then we had like social, and then we had like mobile, and then we had IoT, and like, this is another technology trend. No, that's not right. We had fire and the printing press and like agriculture. The internet is on this list, and AI. Like that's the timeline we're on. It's not the evolution of the internet. It's like the human evolution scale.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And not only that, but like, I don't know, you can just feel how fast the world is moving, right? People say all the time, the world just keeps moving faster. Well, AI is not going to slow it down. AI is like lighting a fire under what's already moving quickly. And like blowing it up. I mean, that's what I see. Like things, it's the thing that's crazy is it's not changing every week. It's changing every second. Like I go on ChatGPT and I'm like, I don't remember that it could do this yesterday. And so I'm like telling my clients, I'm like, hey, check out this new thing. Like you can do this new thing with the chat. Like, have you tried this new thing? You can build this other thing over here. I mean, it's moving that fast. And so just for our listeners, like, Hunter just said it. You got to move with this. Perfect. So for companies that are like, okay, got the message. Thank you. I want to get started with AI. What would you recommend that they do?
Yeah, I recommend that they hire a consultant. To me, you know, and that could be Barefoot or anybody else, but you need an expert to figure out what are the opportunities? What are the capabilities of the technology? And literally do the math to calculate the return on investment for an AI deployment and pick the best one, right? And that's very hard to do. Like if you've been running your business for 20 years and you're not in tech and all the rest of it, like you said, it's changing so fast. Like I give a lot of presentations where I am very hands-on and I demo these tools and my opening line is, let's see what breaks today. Because every time I do this, something has changed overnight. Even though I did a dry run yesterday, something has changed overnight. And so you really like I read about 2 hours a day just so I can come to you and say, I kind of know what's going on.
Right.
Right. And so bring in an expert to give you some advice on where to focus, because that's the biggest problem folks are having right now. There's all these shiny things and, oh, do I need a customer service chatbot or do I need a sales machine or do I need an internal thing? Like figuring out where to focus is kind of where business owners are struggling right now. And that's why I recommend like bring someone in that really knows what's going on that can say, look, that's not ready yet, but this is very easily achievable, not expensive, and will move your bottom line.
Right. That's the key. And that's what I want to make sure everyone hears, is that you're saying, find someone who can help you do the research, like figure out what's actually going to move the needle in your company. Mm-hmm. Don't try to adopt everything and don't try to figure it out yourself. Like, one of my favorite books is Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. And it's like, find the who's that can help you with this, because otherwise it's just a waste of your time. And people like Hunter, you're ahead of the game and you're reading 2 hours a day and you're still like scratching the surface, but you know enough to like get some things done. So let's talk about what's coming. So you're reading 2 hours a day, you're playing with stuff, it's breaking. You're helping clients figure, you know, solve problems, you know, creating this new product. What's going to happen in the next few years?
It's a big question.
I know.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing in the next 12 months, and then I'll expand beyond that, is deploying like company-wide AI platforms versus bringing in different AI tools for different use cases. I'm seeing businesses running platforms. If you look at the big boys, Goldman Sachs has GSAI, JP Morgan has one of these, Cisco has one of these, BAE Systems has one of these. They have all built in-house internal AI platforms for all of their employees. Like, you have a question about HR and your benefits, ask this particular chatbot, right? Or you need help doing your financial analysis for your clients, and then you can use this here. But mid-market companies and small businesses don't have the resources for something like to build something right. Like that internally. So I see companies like mine deploying these kind of AI platforms almost as like an operating system for your business, like an AI operating system. Like, yeah. I need to update my CRM. Okay, I'm not going to go log into HubSpot. I'm just going to go to my AI platform and say, hey, update the CRM. I just had a call with so-and-so and it went well, and here's the details, right? And then it will go and use, you know, kind of agentic AI, right, to like connect these other systems, where you have this like one interface where you get up in the morning and you're like, okay, this is where I start my day. Like, it might not even be your inbox, which is where most people start their days that are sitting in front of a computer.
Got it. Right. Because you could go to your AI interface and be like, show me the top two emails that are the most urgent that I need to deal with first, or show me, right? Like, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Like, for example, my morning, I typically categorize my emails: red, yellow, blue, right? Which is needs to be done today, should be done today, can wait, you know, is not urgent. And then I have an orange, which is when you have some time, you should read this, right? We are not very far away from me waking up in the morning and that being done for me already, right? And it's like, here's the top three things that we think you need to address today. And it'll just be a long, it's like everyone gets an executive assistant, right? Everybody gets a research analyst. Everybody gets, you know, access to information that's siloed right now in different places, and you rely on people. So that's where I think business is going, like in the next 12 to 18 months. Now, if you want to talk about 4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, I want to talk about 4 or 5 years.
That gets wild. And
okay, I want to hear it.
I mean, so the CEO of Anthropic, another major large language model, like foundational model company, just said that 90% of code will be written by AI in the next 6 months, with 100% being closer to a year and a half, I think he said. What we're seeing, and we're already seeing layoffs of entry-level positions, or just eliminating entry-level positions, because AI can just do those jobs. And, you know, which makes an interesting question of how do you get mid-level and senior-level people if you're not hiring junior-level people, but that's for a different day maybe.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a future in which the number of people able and willing and wanting to work will be much greater than the work needed to be done, right? And that's, we're already seeing signs of that. And I think that happens really soon. So how do you address that? Like, as a government, you know, people talk about universal basic income as a means of saying, look, you don't need to work, you're going to get enough money to get by and even maybe thrive, because we're just going to, our labor supply versus demand is going to be like all out of whack. Now, throw in some other technology, like nuclear fusion and quantum computing, and all of a sudden we have near limitless power, near limitless compute, and the smartest, you know, AI models, you know, ever. And honestly, it's a new world order. It's like that significant of a change. Like the entire way the world works is going to have to be different because of this new technology that just like so much of the world was arranged based on energy needs, right? Where's the oil? Who's our trade partners? How can we get in our natural gas? What are we doing? It really powers the world, right? And so all of a sudden nuclear fusion, you know, we've had major breakthroughs in the last 12 months. And I'm not saying that's coming like in 18 months or whatever, but if in the next 5 to 10 years, it's quite possible. And so is quantum computing. And all of a sudden it's like a limitless world. Like we're going to live till we're like 130 years old and cancer is going to be a thing of the past and all of these incredible things. If we can make sure that the good people are in charge. That's critical because there is a dystopian view, which I do not hold because I think there are just more good people than bad people working on these things, but we need to make sure that we're on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said in, you know, coming from the industrial model, it can be a real freak out to think how much the labor market's going to shift, right? People aren't ready, I don't think, to think about that yet. Someone said though, what would happen if so much time was freed up for people that they could be creative and pursue their passions. And of course we have the financial aspect, which you were talking about is like, you know, does the government do, you know, corporations pay taxes to government that then gives it back to people, more of a socialist model. And I'm not saying yay or nay to that. I'm just saying like, that's what you're alluding to. Right. And so I'm inviting everyone just like you are to look at like, what are the positives? Like what good can it bring? And I have to say this, my interactions with ChatGPT have been so positive. Like whoever in the world has built ChatGPT, you know, behind the scenes has built it. I almost hesitate using this word, but it's like loving. The messages that come through. And I find that very interesting. I'm embracing that because I agree with you. I think there's a lot of good. I think most of the world is pretty good. You know, and there's this small percentage. And I think for all of us to keep an eye on the small percentage and watch what's happening, I think that's up to all of us as humans on this planet. I think we're all responsible for that, whether or not we want to be. You being probably more on the front lines and seeing things or being able to interpret things faster than some of us, right? Like who are the bell ringers going to be? But like, I do hold that thought of like, what could be better? I have an 11-year-old son. I can't even imagine the world that he's going to be in 10 years from now. And so I want to be a positive part of this and really talking about, you know, bringing AI to the forefront for people to use it in great ways, because that's the upside. The upside to what you just said, a world with no cancer, that'd be pretty amazing.
Mine's three. My son is three. Mm. I recently wrote a piece on that very thing. It was his birthday. And I said, what does the world look like when he turns 18?
Yes.
Right? It's very hard to know. Do I think he'll go to a traditional 4-year undergraduate college? No, I do not. I think that's like, you know, almost certainly not going to happen. Is there going to be an artistic renaissance, right? Like, what would you do if you just had 30 more hours every week? I'd probably write a book.
Of course.
I'd love to write a book. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that to me is incredible. What would you do if the average life expectancy is all of a sudden over 100 years? You get all this extra time with your life to make big accomplishments. Like the upside and medicine alone.
Yeah.
It's just like how many families are just devastated by disease and cancer and all of these things. Like the amount of joy that it could bring by ridding the planet of some of those things or all of those things.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. It's like nothing we've ever seen. I like to say I'm part of, if I had to pick a single time period to be alive, it's almost exactly the time period that I am alive. I remember before the internet, and I am going to see the advent of superintelligence.
Yeah.
And I love technology. That's my thing, right? That's my passion. I love playing with new tech. And so what a time to be alive, to be able to see that progression and just watch the world change so dramatically in a single lifetime. I'm so grateful for it.
It's almost like you chose to be here.
Almost.
All right, Hunter. Well, I appreciate this conversation, and I love that we're ending it on a high note. So tell our listeners, like, how would they know if they're a potential fit to work with your company? And then how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. How would you know if you're a potential fit? Just reach out. We're not going to ignore your email because you're like too small or whatever. I give away a lot of free advice, to be honest. And so awesome. We'll always take the call and just literally email me directly, hunter@barefootsolutions.com. You can also fill out the form on our website. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, so you can get me there. And I respond to people. Mostly, I get a lot of spam there, but email is probably a safer bet. Just say, hey, I heard you on the Quantum Revenue podcast, and you are definitely, definitely going to get a response from me personally. So just do it. Reach out.
Hunter Jensen, thanks for hanging out with us today. Thanks for sharing the good news about AI and why we want to be prepared and like why it's now is the time to make those shifts and pivots. We wish you your best year yet. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Ursula.
Yeah. And to our listeners all over the world, this was a lot today. You might want to really listen to this podcast again. And rather than listening with fear, come from a place of possibility and a place that Hunter was talking about of imagining an incredible future for not only for us, but for our kids and future generations. That's it for this week, everybody. Make this your most epic month.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.